You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Thursday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday to join me. We're tuning into God's frequency. This is WGOD. If I owned a radio station, those are the call letters I would call it, WGOD, because I love the fact that God is, he's always broadcasting. And all we need to do is go to where he speaks, and that's the secret, and I share it with you. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. That's why it's always the right thing to do is all of us preachers to focus and preach on the word of God, not on our interpretation of the word of God. Preach the word or stories or anything else. Preach the word in season, out of season, and that's what we do here at this church. We preach through New Testament books of the Bible, usually verse by verse. We got three different ones going on. My associate pastor's in the book of Mark. He's going to be preaching the book of Jude on Wednesday night. Jonah back in the Old Testament coming up on Wednesday night. I am in Romans on Sunday. Acts is going to be following after that. The Gospel of John will be following soon after that. That's what we do. We know the secret. We share it with you. God's always broadcasting. We're going to hear some words from him today. A lot of words in Romans chapter 5. I've entitled this sermon, Jesus and Adam. The Apostle Paul's using, once again, his favorite method of teaching is comparing two things side by side. He's going to compare, on the one hand, the offense of Adam, which brought sin and death into the human race. Death reigned as king, and until the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene and offers who the Apostle Paul calls the free gift. It's a free gift of righteousness. God's offered you, you know, like companies have stock buybacks. Well, the Lord Jesus is offering you a sin buyback. He will exchange his greatness and his righteousness for your sins. All you need to do is call on the name of the Lord. Turn, repent of sin, call on the name of the Lord, receive him today as your Lord and Savior, and he will exchange your sins for his righteousness. So that's where we're at. This is part two of this message. We will be back in the book of Revelation here on Friday. Sunday we'll be in Romans chapter 6. You're invited for one of our services. We'd love to see you. We've got one more study here in the book of Galatians on Wednesday nights. So that's what we do here at Island Community Church. We're in the Word of God. We sit under the authority of the Word of God, and we would love to see you for one of our services. Okay, here we go. This is part two of this message now, Jesus and Adam.
And until he appears on the scene, death reigns as king, right? Death. Death and taxes, right? It's appointed on a man wants to die, the Bible says. Then the judgment. Death reigns as king from Adam to Moses and to everyone thereafter. Then he adds that death sits as king even over innocent bystanders. Verse 14. See that? It says, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the trespass of Adam. So there's no avoiding it. People die in this world. But praise God, that's not the end of the story. Jesus says this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. All right, now listen to his plan now. He's got a plan now on how to beat sin, on how to beat death. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he says, do you believe this? Now there's a truckload of good news right there, isn't it? First of all, death might be inevitable, but praise God, it's not the end. Jesus declares, I am the resurrection. Oh, you might die, just about everyone has up until this point, but death's not the end. Then Jesus makes the comment, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That would be those who are alive when he returns, I would imagine. Well, I know. I don't imagine it. I might dream about it. That's the number one thing on my bucket list. What do I want to do before I die? Not die. But I'm not dreaming. A and B, that's not far-fetched. That's going to happen to the generation that's alive when he comes back. Are you willing to believe this morning that you can go on living even after you die? Then Martha, this Martha, not this Martha, responds with the correct answer, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. So, yes, Lord, I believe. That's all that's required of you this morning. Is this time, you know, this old saying is, don't be a Martha. This time the saying is, be a Martha. I believe. That's it. That's all that's required of you. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the Son of God. All right, now we could just stop here right now and call it a day. But let's continue. Let's go back here. Now, starting in verse 15, the Apostle Paul is going to revert to his favorite style of teaching. He's going to compare two things side by side. This is how he teaches. Adam and the Lord Jesus. One man's offense and another man's free gift. He always teaches this way. Law and grace. Here it's one man's offense, one man's free gift. Adam and Jesus. Adam and Jesus. He's going to compare the two. Look, Adam brought death into the human race. That's by one man's offense. God said, don't do that. Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. All right, here we go, side by side. The free gift, which is what? The offer of salvation has been extended to you personally. Do this and live is the free gift. Costs you nothing. It cost him his blood and his very life. Do this and live. And not only that, but if you're part of the blessed generation that's going to be alive when he returns, then you will never die. Those who live and believe in me will never die. That's the free gift. Receive Christ, live forever. Free and absolutely costs you nothing. And the offense, don't do that or die. That's the offense. It's the offense that trillions are still dying from. Even today, every man, woman, many children that are in St. Jude's Hospital, unfortunately, there are consequences to pay when we go against God. Children, they're innocent bystanders. They haven't done anything wrong. But he says, nevertheless, it is what it is. What's God's plan? The plan is to call on the name of Jesus. That's your only hope. Death passed from Adam to Moses, even over innocent bystanders. So look around. Death's in the world. What's the plan? The plan is to embrace the Son of God. And he says, even though you might die, you shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me, he says, you won't ever die. The blessed generation, like the generation of all of these children that are in here, I'd be willing to bet you any amount of money that you want to bet. You come into my office and bet. Only problem is you won't be around to see it, probably. If it happens in their generation, that will be the terminal generation. That'll see the return of Jesus Christ. All of you guys here with young kids that are here today, personally, if you ask my opinion, I don't think your children are going to die. Caitlin, and you guys back there, you guys, I don't think your children are going to die. Because I look around here in this world, man, oh man, Jesus is coming back soon. I would venture to say, maybe they said that in the year 1000 as well, and in the year 2000 as well. But this whole world can't continue like this much longer. It needs an intervention. And those that live and believe in me will never die, he says. So, there are the consequences to pay when we go against God. And as we see and as we know from our own lives, our sins affect other people. And, unfortunately, like Adam's, other people's sins affect us as well. And that's why that word nevertheless is there. Nevertheless. I mean, I wish we could change that, but God is serious about sin, right? I mean, isn't that the one thing we ought to take out of that? God is serious about sin, and he means what he says, right? So when he throws a life preserver out there, his life preserver is Jesus. Do this and live, he says. Look to me, he says. All right, now back to verse 15. For if by one man, all right, he's comparing the two. For if by one man's offense, it's Adam. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And that gift was this, is the Lord Jesus Christ has personally offered to take your sins and to take your penalty upon himself, and in exchange for your sins, he will give you his righteousness. A one-for-one swap, let's call it. Your sins for his righteousness. What thinkest thou, church? Anyone else interested in that today? He's offering to give you his righteousness, God's righteousness, in exchange for your sins. I mean, your chances are either one of two. Either you say, yes, Lord, I received that. Or the other alternative is you're upset that God loves you this morning. There's no option three. You embrace that and say, yes, Lord. I think I certainly would love you have an amnesia with my sins and forgetting them forevermore, writing my name in the book of life, giving me peace, exchanging my sins for your greatness. Where do I sign? The charge over all humanity is that God loves you. Do with that as you will. A one-for-one swap. And where grace comes in, is that Almighty God would even make this available to you. You know, you heard of companies offering a stock buyback program. Well, God offers to you a sin buyback program. He'll buy back all of the penalties for your sin in exchange for his righteousness. It's a one-for-one swap right here and now, right here on this Sunday morning. Your sins for his greatness. Your sins for his greatness. Count me in. How about you? I'll take that exchange any day of the week. You can have all my sins, and I will humbly receive your greatness. But you have a problem that keeps you from his presence, and it's a sin problem. You've inherited from your ancestors, and you must confront it head on. We read in the Gospel of John, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Okay, verse 16, Paul continues comparing Adam and Jesus. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift resulted in justification. All right, now he's going to ramble just a little bit. It's his analytical mind. Sometimes that's what he does. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 18, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, here's the other side of the coin, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification. So there's the tale of two gavels right there. You got both sides of the same gavel right there. Sounds like a Perry Mason episode, the tale of the two gavels. You either got condemnation, and they're both out of the courtroom. You got condemnation, the gavel going down against you, guilty. Or the gavel going down for you when God slams down his gavel and declares you not guilty. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Both here in one verse. Verse 19, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered. Uh-oh, now here comes the law. Here comes a little, don't do that, into the equation. Okay? Moreover, the law entered so that the offense might abound, meaning what you did was bad, but now it's really bad. I mean, look at what happened. Look at what happened to the whole human race because of Adam. He says, the law entered so that the sin might abound. You see, once God says, don't do that, now this has been greatly magnified here. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign. Same word for reign there, sitting on the throne as king, is grace. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, so things we've learned today so far. Number one, Eve sinned because she was deceived. She said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Genesis 3:13. Number two, but, well, still number one, you and I sinned because it's our nature to sin. Wasn't her nature. We've inherited this. Number two, one man's offense led the entire human race to death. The Bible says death was king and it ruled supreme. Number three, death passed to everyone. even over those who did nothing wrong, like children. We ask that question all the time, don't we? We say it's not fair, right? You know, we see a child suffering or with cancer, and we say, it's not fair, but we got to go and look and identify the real culprit. The real culprit is sin. And all we can do is call on the name of the Lord and accept his life preserver. See, with children, don't have to worry about that. Because with children, you see, they're going to go right to the Lord when they pass and leave this world. That's how we need to enter into the kingdom, like a child. For such is the kingdom, he says. Number four, Jesus came to earth to destroy the power of death. It's Hebrews 2:14. It says, through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their life subject to bondage. And number five, though death abounds, God's grace is greater. It's greater than all my sins. Why we picked out that song to sing this morning. God's grace is greater than all of our sins. But make no mistake about it, sin's a serious thing. There's no change in the absolute fact that the wages of sin is death. But make no mistake about it, God's grace is greater than all of your sins. And that's good news. All right. Since we have some time left, and since no one has anything to do today, since today is the Lord's day, let's get into a few more verses, shall we? Any objections? Huh? You got an objection? Huh? Linda, you want me to crown him for you? I knew you'd say that. Now, Paul's going to address the argument that since grace is so great, let's go out and live it up so that God will look good. He anticipates that question next, because that's the logical progression. You follow along and you get to this place here. God's grace greater than all my sins. Here I stand, forgiven of everything. And now you see, he anticipates the next question, and it's right here in verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? That's everything that we've learned. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? And he says, meganoito, God forbid. Meganoito in Greek is an absolute fist-pounding, exclamation point-laden, emphatic. They'd say in Jersey, what, are you crazy or something? Are you out of your mind? Sin deliberately because God is good? After all that Jesus did by dying on the cross, dying in your place, shall we go back to living in sin so that God will look good and his grace will be magnified? He says, perish the thought. That's why the King James Version translated that, God forbid. You got to be kidding. Then in verse 2, he answers his own question. He says, certainly not. How shall, look what he says, Romans 6:2. He says, how shall we who died live any longer in it? Now, he's assuming, first of all, that you've died. He's assuming you've died to sin already. Now, verse 3 is going to show you how and where you die to sin. You don't just say it. You've got to do it somewhere. You've got to carry this out somewhere. Look, dying to sin means you're making the decision that you're not going to live that kind of life anymore. Now, in next week's sermon, he's going to call people that live like that, he's going to call them slaves to sin. Now, verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. So it's right back here. It's in a watery grave. That's why all you good people were compelled to get baptized in your life, even when you didn't even realize it at the time. Back there is where you have your very own personal resurrection. Back there is where the decision not to sin deliberately anymore is made. Back there is where you personally identify as a Christian. It's in the water, baptism. Now we got a baptism coming up here, family back here. We got a whole family we're going to baptize. And when we're baptized, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, where Jesus says, whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. That's where those decisions are made. That's where you die. In the water there. The way I see it, well, as the Lord was raised up again, you too have been raised up and now walk in newness of life, to use his own words. The way that I see it, if you have not died with him, then you cannot walk in newness of life, because that takes place right back here in this tank. When you confess the name of Jesus in public and in front of people, that's where that happens. If you haven't died with him, you can't walk in newness of life. Oh, you're saved. Because baptism doesn't save you. Faith in the Son of God saves you. We read in Galatians 3:26, you were all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But then he says, but as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. All right, now we'll pick it up here next week, I'd imagine. Question, are you walking in newness of life? Have you been baptized? Again, we're going to have another one here coming up. And if you would like to get baptized, come and see me and we can talk about that. I leave you today with this verse from the Apostle Peter. He says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from your body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. This is Denny Nugent, and today's question concerns spiritual gifts. We know the Holy Spirit endows every believer with some kind of unique spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12:7 speaks to that, where it says, "To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Now, John, how does a person know what his spiritual gift is? How does he find it?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked the question kind of in the singular, a unique spiritual gift. There are listed categories of giftedness, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. They talk about various categories of giftedness like preaching or teaching, faith, giving, leadership, those categories. But I do believe that every believer has a gift, which is the combination of those categories of giftedness. So that every one of us is kind of a spiritual snowflake. And your gift, my gift, is for the common good. My gift is not for me. It is not to edify me. It is not to build me up. It is for the body of Christ. As to how you can know your gift, look, Don't narrow it down to